former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM alongside VSiN's own Jonathan Von Tobel. Today, Stormy Bonantoni live from downtown Las Vegas. We will talk plenty more about the NBA a little bit later on in the hour. The Heat and Celtics going head-to-head in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals later on tonight. Celtics an 8.5-point favorite, total 210.5. Last night, the Denver Nuggets got it done, albeit barely, against the Los Angeles Lakers to win game one in the West. But I want to talk a little NFL here. This is an NFL show. Seems appropriate.
Is it irony that I'm filling in for Michael Lombardi, a man who has probably had a lot of cream cheese and I have barely had any?
I would say so. Right. So in the commercial break, but New I guess Jersey before guy. We talk about NFL, we can talk Wooder. About cream cheese for a moment, because I was listening to Live Bet Saturday the other day, and you and Kelly Bidlin just started talking. I'm not sure what prompted the conversation.
Never do.
About how you had never had plain cream cheese or an everything bagel.
Please do not put this on me, until last year. So I've had it.
Well, that's now you're even like lying based on what you said in the commercial break that it was a couple months ago.
A couple months ago was last year.
That's
December.
5 months ago.
Okay, so.
It's not a couple.
It was
couple
last
is
year.
Two.
It was actually, I could tell you the exact day. It was in November. I was in San Juan Capistrano in my hotel room.
What prompted this?
That I ordered a bagel and that it came with it. And I was like, I got nothing to do. Let me try it.
But you're in your 30s. You're 30 years old, right?
I am 32.
32 years old. Never tried a bagel and cream cheese.
I've tried flavored cream cheeses, never had plain cream cheese.
But flavored cream cheese are subpar compared to plain cream cheese.
I would debate that.
I think that is a no-brainer.
I'm a big fan of a nice strawberry cream cheese.
I can't get on
board a plain bagel. But the I've been out in Jersey. I've had the bagels with the Wooder, as they say. Good bagels.
I love bagels, and I love cream cheese, and I was just very, very confused how somebody at your age had never tried them before. But you don't like a lot of things. You don't like sour cream. You don't like...
Yeah, like cream stuff is not really high on my
cheesecake,
list.
Cheesecake, you said, which are all of my favorite things. So
I'll come around on cheesecake. You know what I like? A nice cheese Danish. Those are actually really solid.
Cheese Danishes are bomb.
Yep.
But so I was listening to that, and you ended up going into a conversation about NFL market power ratings, which I found very intriguing and something that I think is worth discussing, because I don't know how often you get this question, but during the NFL season, when we're talking about lines for games and you say, I made this number 3 and but the line is 4. So I think that there could be value on this side. Then people always say, well, how did you make that number? How did you get there? And so there are different ways you can do that, right? You can make your own individual power ratings, or you can do market power ratings and go back and forth. So I think that's a good exercise for you to kind of explain to people what that is and what that means.
So I think this is a good tool for anybody who wants it. And you don't have to have your own ratings. It's like a really basic way to find value. We always use the word. We use it too much. So these are market power ratings. And essentially what they are is, it is what the market feels about these teams. You are deriving from point spreads that are out there power ratings here. And you have to, one of the key things is down there at the bottom. It depends on how you rate home field. Now, I have used 1.5 points for home field to create these power ratings,
which I think is interesting, because how often do we hear, just in the grand scheme of things, home field advantage means 3,
which is very wrong, by the way.
Yeah.
Last year, so you can do a bunch of different things. And a shout out to Jeff Vogel, who's always taught me this, a former colleague here at VSiN. One of the things that is the most accurate thing to do when it comes to rating home field is finding the median result, not the average result, but the median result of the team at home. So the median result of last year at home for NFL teams was just a single point. If you talk about average result for teams, you're talking about a 1.92. Find the middleman, boom, you're at 1.5. So we'll just 1.5 as a result. And then it's pretty simple. I use DraftKings odds for these. You just go through the week one lines. You use 1.5 for home field, and you derive power ratings. So we have this, and you use and compare and contrast future odds to place where these teams are at. Now, the numbers are subjective that you're going to see on the graphic. So, like, 86 is just the number that I decided to use for the top-rated teams. You can
so
use 99.
So instead of using 100 or 99.
Yeah, like, you can use 100.
Why 86? Why do you go that way?
When I was taught, we used 86.
Okay.
Yeah, like, literally,
there's
that's
no
it.
Real
yeah.
rhyme or
nope.
reason.
It's pretty simple, like, especially when you're deriving market ratings. Now, when you make your own ratings, however you decide to rate teams, you know, for example, 1 year when I was making NBA ratings, my numbers were on scales of over 100. So it just depends on how you rate teams, what numbers you boil them down to and whatnot. So for this exercise, just use 86. So pretty clearly, Chiefs and Eagles are the two best teams in the National Football League. And the easy way to look at this is this. Look at this grand list of teams, Stormy, and you tell me if anything sticks out to you in terms of where certain teams are rated. So I'll give you an example. I think that the market is too low on the Green Bay Packers. I would not say that the Green Bay Packers are just 1 point better on a neutral than the Atlanta Falcons. I think higher of the Green Bay Packers than I do that the market does, because that's what the market is. So you can circle the team or the Green Bay Packers as a team that you might perceive to have value in. And if you do these every single week, you can get a sense of where the market is at for a lot of these teams and thus find your bets there. So a team like Green Bay, who I think from a futures perspective has a lot of value in betting some of those things, whether it's over win total to win the division, I think is one thing to really look at for them. I don't think they're by far the worst team in that division. And to look at them in week one, which we're deriving these numbers from, to say that the Green Bay Packers are on a new, on the road against Chicago, the Bears are better than the Green Bay Packers. I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. That's what the market's telling us. I completely disagree with something like that. I think they have a tremendous defense. I think Jordan Love and that offense is going to be very good. They have pretty decent skill positions that really came along strong last year. So that's one thing that you can immediately look at is, even if I'm not going to compare and contrast immediate rankings, like, right, I have the Packers as 81, and then I can just look at this and go, I think the Packers are better than the Bears. Market says no. I'm betting the Packers in week one.
Okay. I'm trying to look to see if there's other ones that stand out to me, like the Seahawks are 2 points worse than the Steelers.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it, right? So how about that? Or even like the Steelers, for example. Do you think the Steelers are only, according to the market power ratings, 4 points worse than the Bengals?
No.
So maybe the market's a little too high on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's take a look, you know, in week one where the Steelers are playing. They're playing the San Francisco 49ers. They're only catching 3. I think that the 49ers should be rated a little bit higher, or the gap between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the 49ers should be higher. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to lay 3 with the San Francisco 49ers on the road. That's kind of the rudimentary way to look at it, but it's a good exercise to do on a week-to-week basis to get an idea of where the market is at. And it's a really good exercise, too, because what you see is from like week one to week two, you'll get like, oh, Chicago, for example, they were on the, what do we have them here? The 78 line, okay, for example. They get blown out by the Green Bay Packers. And then you redo the market ratings for the next week, and all of a sudden it comes out to they're down to like the 73 line. It's like, well, that's kind of an overreaction. It's just one game. So I think it's a great example, and it's a great way to do it, to not only compare and contrast if you have your own ratings, but even if you just want to go in and find certain spots where you're just going to circle it rudimentary and go, I think the Colts aren't that bad. I think the Raiders are better, or worse than that. I think the Patriots are better, and find different ways to do it. I think it's a really good and fun exercise to do, and you can adjust for your own home field. If you think home field's worth more, mm-hmm. do this exercise, but use 2. If you think it's worth less, do this exercise, do 1. I think it's a very fun and a neat exercise to do, and I think there's a couple of different ways to do it, and there's a couple of things that have stuck out here, too. You want my other one really quickly? I don't know why the market's so high on the Detroit Lions. If you're looking at
they are America's darling ever since Hard Knocks, and then they reeled off however many wins at the end of last season, and everybody's very like high at the peak of the Detroit Lions.
So if we're using 1.5 for home field, which has generally been the case, they are only 5 points worse than the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think that's the case. I don't think they have addressed enough what this defense is going to be. They were one of the worst defenses in the NFL. If we're talking about overvalued teams, at the top of the list for me is a team like the Detroit Lions.
Are the Cowboys overvalued?
I
can never get a read on Dallas.
So I think I'm a little higher on Dak Prescott. I think we get wrapped up in what we saw last, which was Dak Prescott committing a crap ton of turnover-worthy plays last season and putting his team in danger. We're ignoring 3-plus years of really good quarterback play prior. And I think we kind of get a little too wrapped up into that. So I'm actually somebody who thinks that the Cowboys are pretty adequately rated. But I mean, how about a team like the New York Jets? I think the gap is still a little bit bigger between the Jets and the Chiefs and the Eagles and the Bills than the market would indicate. And yet market's like, 3-point difference between them and the Bills and a 4-point difference between them and the Chiefs. I think we're maybe a little too high on the Jets.
For anyone who has never like done power ratings for themselves before or followed NFL market power ratings, for example, is the NFL the best sport to do that because of all of the information that's out there? Or what would you say is?
Yeah, I think it's easiest to do it because, one, it's static. So, for example, for the NBA, think about it. There's games every day. There's injuries every day. So you have to, especially if you're building your power ratings based off of players and numbers, then like, you're moving players in and out all the time. You have to keep up with information. Okay, I'm looking at the Magic without Paolo Banchero today, but now I have the Magic with Paolo Banchero on Thursday. It's a little bit tougher. With the NFL, there's not that many players who will alter a power rating. Generally, it's only quarterbacks. So that really helps you. And it's a week-to-week sport. So you can craft these every single Monday, for example, when the numbers come out, and then you can work on them throughout the week. And as information comes in, you can change them, and you don't get games until Thursday and or Sunday. I think that's probably the easiest one to do it, at least when you're starting to get into it for the first time. And I'd also say, too, because this is one thing I had, just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things that I had problems with when I was making power ratings for the first time is like, okay, do I want to do this? How do I do it? And I was like, screw it. Just make them. And you can work on them as they go. And if they're inaccurate, then you tweak and you see where you're off. Like, your power rating should never be more. I see people are like, you know, my power rating, say, I'm like, the market's off by 7 points. Well, then there's something wrong with the way you're doing it. Not that there's that much value. More often than not, you should be within about 3 points or so of a line when you're talking about your rankings, your model, whatever, as opposed to like 10 points off. Cause then there's a little bit of something wrong with what you're doing. But I would say, just do it, man. Like, just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, try it and work on it as you go along.
And figure out what, like, is like the valuable numbers to you, right? It's not the same as a power ranking where it's just teams 1 through 32, right, but putting a value and a number to it.
Yeah, and what you want to weight more. Do you weight a team that is good in red zone defense more than a team that is good in red zone offense? That's when you start to get into the intricacies of it. But that's part of the learning process. I mean, I don't have it perfected by any stretch, but I think it's good to just do it, to kind of just jump off the cliff, if you will, and into the water. Just to kind of get it done and try it.
And I think there are other little pieces, too, that'll make you slightly shift it, not just home field, but a team's familiarity with another team, recent games and experience, not overreacting, like you said earlier, to a one-week sample size. There's a lot of different things that go into it. We will, as promised, get back to the NBA. We have our senior NBA betting analyst on hand with us, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, looking around like he doesn't know that he is our resident expert. We'll get back to it in a moment. Stay with us on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. You can check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Thanks for everybody that's been chiming in on Twitter for the conversation about the NFL power ratings that we were discussing. Mm-hmm. JVT doing a great job breaking down market power ratings in the league.
Yeah, so I just wanted to stress, because we did get some feedback there, those ratings that we threw up, they are the market power ratings. You're not using those as your ratings, because you're not going to get any closing line value. You're just basing off of what the market thinks. You're using that to compare your own ratings. So I just wanted to clarify that for anybody who saw that we were talking about it and enjoyed it. It's a very fun and good conversation to have, but this is the tool. You're not looking at it, deriving your numbers from it, and then going. You're comparing your numbers and ratings to it. Or like I said, just simply going through and circling the things, the teams you think are undervalued. But it's a tool to use, not what you're basing your ratings off of. It's a comparison tool, if you will.
Maybe next Wednesday when you're back in here, we can do a breakdown of how you create power ratings in general for somebody that's never done it before and wants just a few general tips and ideas on how to go about doing that.
Might have to buy me breakfast.
I'll see what I can do. But
talking to Steph.
I won't get you a bagel with cream cheese at that breakfast. I do know that much. let's go to the NBA. While the Philadelphia 76ers are out of postseason contention now, their head coach Doc Rivers relieved of his duties. Now we got news today. James Harden will decline his $35.5 million player option, become an unrestricted free agent this summer, first reported by Bleacher Report's Chris Haynes, but reportedly seeking a 4-year contract when he hits the open market, which might be a little bit difficult to do.
No, I don't think so. I think he'll get it. It just depends on who wants to give it to him.
Well, I guess I'm thinking the Houston Rockets specifically, because it sounds like that's where he had wanted to go.
Yeah, so it's down to Philly or Houston. Both teams are capable of giving him 4-year deals. I just wonder if you're Houston. I understand why Harden would want to do it. Harden seems to be a different cat. Like, he just kind of wants to play ball, make some money, and then right off into the sunset. And I get, in the world of sports, that's unthinkable. Hey, man, you're prerogative. You want to live your life that way, you want to live your life that way. He's a good enough basketball player to do it. But if you're Houston, I don't know why you're doing that. You have a young core of players, as we talked about. You're going to be adding to that because you have a top 4 pick in this year's draft. the window, your window, if you're, you know, if we're doing it visually, James Harden's window is over here and the Houston Rockets window is over here. Those aren't windows that line up for a championship. So I just don't know why it would make sense for Houston to go and do that. And especially when you're a team that might have a pretty congested backcourt in terms of minutes. If, what if the draft falls away? I'm thinking, what if Scoot Henderson's going to be there? You have Kevin Porter Jr. on a deal that you can kick him off, sure. And then you have Jalen Green. I just don't know where everything's at in terms of the fit there. So I think if you're Philly, because Philly's in a dangerous spot, think about this. Harden could walk. You're there with Joel Embiid and some of the pieces that you have. And it's kind of a weak free agency class outside of it. Chris Middleton could enact his player option. He's going to make $40 million next year plus. I don't think he's getting rid of that. I think he wants that. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Fred VanVleet maybe has a player option. It sounds like he wants to test free agency. Maybe he is an upgrade over James Harden, but do you even get him if that's going to be the case? So there's a lot of different things the way that this could go where James Harden could leave for Houston and Philly could just be sitting around going, huh, we really don't have that much to pick from or land. And they could be in a pretty tough position for next year. So this is the start. We kind of expected this. Now the next few decisions are going to be massive for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, and to kind of dovetail off of that, in search of a new head coach as well, mm-hmm. how attractive of a destination is it when you do have the MVP, but a lot of other question marks on your roster?
I think it's an attractive job, but it's the least attractive job of the ones that are open. So if you're Monty Williams, for example, would you rather coach Milwaukee or would you rather coach Philly? I think you like the base that's there in Philly. If you're Nick Nurse, would you rather coach Phoenix or would you rather coach Philly? I think I'd rather go to Phoenix. So there's little things here and there. Ty Lue reportedly met with the Clippers front office. There's rumblings there that maybe, just maybe, the Clippers and Ty Lue are headed for a separation. And if that's the case, that's another coach out there. Ty Lue and the Suns have already been tied together because the Suns are interested. And then all of a sudden, if that job comes open and if you're Nick Nurse, you're like, huh, the guy won a championship, doesn't have a head coach. Let's go over there. And all of a sudden, Nick Nurse is the head coach of the Clippers. Ty Lue is the head coach of the Suns. And the 76ers are kind of looking around like, okay, maybe we'll get one of these assistants. So I'm very interested. Maybe it's Budenholzer. Maybe Bud mm-hmm. wants to go there too. But I would say it's an attractive job. But if I had my pick of the litter, it would be at the bottom of the list of the jobs that are open.
Okay. Well, there are still four teams in contention for this year's NBA title. Last night, the Western Conference Final got underway with Lakers and the Denver Nuggets in Denver. Denver had a 21-point lead in the third quarter, let it slip down to three. Lakers gained some momentum, and a lot of people are saying, okay, Lakers figured Denver out. If I'm the Nuggets, I might look out now. For the people that are a believer in the Lakers, what's the best way to attack betting them in this series moving forward? Is it game by game? Is it in the MVP market? Uh-huh. What would you look at?
I don't think there's any question. You're betting Anthony Davis to win finals, Western Conference Finals MVP. He is plus four. Let me make sure. No, that's sorry. Hold on. That's finals MVP. He is plus 475 to win Western Conference Finals MVP. He had what, 40 yesterday? He was incredible. He's going to be the key defensive player for them. If the Lakers are winning this series, and I said this before the series started, and I'm saying it now, Anthony Davis is going to be the best player on the court. He is the most important. I think his odds should be higher than that of LeBron James, and some places have that baked into their numbers. It is all about Anthony Davis. It always has been, and it will be for this Lakers team. So if you're somebody who, hey, was looking, like I was talking with Kelly Bidlin on our podcast, he thought, hey, I'm going to wait after game one, Lakers lose it, might come back in on the series. Well, don't take plus 225, whatever it is. Take plus 450 with Davis to win Western Conference Finals MVP. I will say it 1,000 times over. Him winning that award is heavily correlated to the Lakers winning that series.
That said, what is your actual opinion as to what is going to play out in this series?
I think the Nuggets are going to win. I would say to be safe, because I'll cop out maybe a little bit. I'll say Nuggets in seven. They just hold home court, and that's the way this works. But I do think there is something to be said of having home court, having role players who are playing as well as they are, especially at home. Remember now, the Denver Nuggets, after the win yesterday, Stormy, are now 7-0 straight mm-hmm. up, 6-1 against the spread at home in the postseason. They've been playing extremely well. The Lakers have their own success at home, so maybe this plays out. But I also think, too, I just like what we pick and choose in terms of things that we think are totally sustainable and totally not sustainable. Yeah, you know, you hear, Nuggets can't shoot like that again. I'm going to say the team that shoots about 34% from three can't shoot 46% either. That would be the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. You know, so
is Austin Reeves going to go off again? Is Rui Hachimura going to have 17 off the bench again? Yeah. I don't know.
And to make another sarcastic point, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Nikola Jokic is going to be able to figure out how to play against Rui Hachimura. I feel very confident in saying that there's another adjustment to be made here for the Denver Nuggets. So, there's always the public perception, and I think the public perception is always heavily slanted towards a team like the Lakers. I did think it was kind of funny coming out of that game you know, the main thought of everybody going, wow, the Nuggets should probably treat this as a loss. Like, no, they're up 1-0 in the series. I think everything's going to be fine. And I think the team that came into this with a defensive rating of 111.7 in non-garbage time in the postseason, the best in the NBA, getting a 130 dropped on them in terms of an offensive rating, that's probably worrisome too if you're the Los Angeles Lakers.
Something I have interest in betting in this series is I kind of hope that the Nuggets win again at home, and I can bet the over 5.5 series total games at a better number than it was -210. Now it's -190 with the hope and assumption that the Lakers too will play well at home.
Hold home court, and then you're going to get that. I would assume, just because, you know, again, what's the cliche? A series doesn't start until a road team wins. You're probably going to be laying a price still at over, you know, the 5.5, but it's not anywhere near -190. It's a good way to approach it. I think it's a really good idea because the Lakers have been very good at home, and a slide against the Nuggets. In the two games in Phoenix, Nikola Jokic played well, but the bench kind of failed to show up, especially down the stretch. And I keep kind of emphasizing this with the Nuggets, which is, you know, their poor transition defense did show up again a little bit yesterday. Off live rebounds, the Lakers had a very good offensive rating. The Suns did that to them on the road, too. As a team, it's much easier to run and get out in transition when you're at home. You're not dealing with the altitude, all of those things. The Lakers could find themselves in a pretty good opportunity at home just being able to get up and down the floor off of rebounds, which is something the Nuggets really struggle to defend against.
When all is said and done in this series... When the smoke clears, who do you think is going to, like, establish their... I don't want to say legacy better because that's not what I mean. But like, who's going to be the best player in this series? Like, is it going to be Anthony Davis? Is it going to be Jokic? Who's it going to be?
Just depends on who wins. If the Nuggets win, it's going to be Jokic. If the Lakers win, it's going to be Anthony Davis. And I think watching Jokic yesterday, I don't know how you come out of that thinking that he had a poor game.
Well,
he was incredible.
No, and like, that's why it's funny. You see AD with 40-10, and he's overshadowed by what Jokic did.
No, Jokic has been brilliant. The way that he is finally kind of getting some of the shine that he deserves because people are starting to watch him in depth for the first time. This is well-deserved of a guy who's been doing this for a really long time, but is in a market that not a lot of people pay attention to, and by their own fault because of some TV stuff that the Nuggets have been dealing with or, you know, putting upon themselves. But I think at the end of the day, it's just tied to those two of those three names at the top. Jokic and the Nuggets, if they're going to win, then it's Jokic. And if the Lakers are going to win, then Davis is going to bring them home.
I know we're up against it, but while I don't foresee there being 258 points scored per game, it seems like higher scoring is going to be the feel for this one. Is it going to be an over series?
I think it's correlated to the team. So if the Lakers are going to win, I don't think that this is going to be a higher scoring series in game. So, you know, you like the Lakers in a game, I would think that maybe you're looking at playing it under and vice versa.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds pod, former Las Vegas sportsbook supervisor. He's going to join us, get his opinion for tonight's Eastern Conference final game. He's got some props for us as well. And rumor has it, a PGA championship play as well. PGA second major coming up on Thursday.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard as well, where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. You'll also see picks from our guest who joins us now, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor at AAO Harry on Twitter. Harry, how are you today?
What's up, Stormy? How are you guys doing? Everything okay?
Yep, everything's going good. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And I was very excited to see on your list that you have a hockey play. The Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NHL getting underway this week as well. Tomorrow, the Hurricanes and Panthers going head-to-head. The Panthers have very much so been riding the wave of their first two series. They knock off the best regular season team in history, and the Boston Bruins respond to that win by knocking off the Toronto Maple Leafs, who a lot of people thought could win it all. And now they have a tough test again here in the Hurricanes. What are you looking at?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting series here. Both teams playing really good. But I kind of am leaning towards a little bit here for Florida for the series. And I like in game one, Carolina to score under 3.5 goals. You got to lay a little bit of a price here at 160, but I love it. Now, their goalie, the Panthers, Bobrovsky's been fantastic. I think he's going to be the difference in the series, too. He's given up 3 goals or less in the last 6 games, and that's, you know, against Boston and Toronto, the cream of the crop, basically, in the NHL. Team makes hardly any mistakes. He hardly makes any mistakes. I'm going to go under 3.5 goals for the Carolina Hurricanes in game one tomorrow.
Since we're on the topic, really quickly, your thoughts on Stormy's Vegas Golden Knights, identical series price, $1.35 favorite over the Dallas Stars?
This should be fun, guys. I'm pumped for this series, too. Jack Eichel's been fantastic. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Connor McDavid in that series against Edmonton, took them down in six. He had 9 points in the series. Aiden Hill, fantastic last couple of games in net for Las Vegas. 70 total saves, and kept the Oilers in check in those last two games, too. Meanwhile, I love what Dallas has been doing, too. I think this is going to be a fun series. I think this is going to go the max. I think it's going to go seven. I think, like, I still like Vegas maybe to pull this out in seven, but I think it's going to be a very, very entertaining series.
No, I agree. Going to be a lot of fun. Jack Eichel and Mark Stone against Jamie Benn and Joe Pavelski. God forbid if Jason Robertson actually wakes up and gets back to the scoring that we saw in the regular season and early on in these playoffs. My one fear for the Golden Knights is that Jake Oettinger finally got it together in that last game against the Kraken, and I've seen too many of the Golden Knights' early franchise seasons end because they've gotten on with a hot goalie on the other side. But you also have some plays, the PGA Championship coming up this week at Oak Hills beginning tomorrow. What are your favorite bets coming up for the second PGA Tour event?
You know, I know it's kind of like you would kind of figure most people would lean towards Scottie Scheffler. It's so hard not to, guys. He's plus 650 to win it. Since 2020, in majors, he has the best scoring record in the majors since 2020. He is, in all majors since 2020, he is 48 under par. Rahm is second, to put it, to figure, to show you how crazy of a stat that is. Rahm is second at 39 under. Scottie Scheffler, 48 under. Second in the world rankings. He's always atop the leaderboard. Finished top 10 in the Masters. Seven top 10s in his last 14 majors. He's first in strokes gained, tee to green. And most importantly, he's first in par four scoring. I think that's going to be huge in this tournament in Oak Hill, where you have four monster par fours that are right around 500 yards. And he's first, like I said, in scoring in par fours in the PGA. I think that's where the difference is going to be. I'm taking Scheffler to win the tournament at plus 650. And Justin Thomas, how about this for a first-round play? First round only, I'm going to go over 70.5 at minus 130. I know he's the defending PGA champ, but he's really struggled since, especially on the greens. He's fourth worst in tour in three-putt avoidance, 138th in strokes gained. I mentioned those long par fours. I haven't been thrilled with his iron play either. I think it's going to be tough for Thomas. I'm going to go over 70.5 in his first round on Thursday.
Harry, and do you go into a major like this with just like two bets like that? Do you have any other mid-range shots that you maybe have in your pocket as part of an overall portfolio?
It's hard not to want to take Ron as well. Like I mentioned, he hits so long, he's so strong, and to reach these par fours in two with the iron play, he's always been fantastic. He's been great so far this season. He's always, again, another guy who's always at the very top. It's hard, you know, I want to come up with some other guys, but it's very difficult when you see what Scheffler and Rahm have been doing this year.
Yeah, one at Augusta. Can he do it as well at Oak Hill? We've been talking a lot today as well about the NBA, the Eastern Conference Final Game 1 getting underway later on tonight with the Celtics and Heat. You like the under tonight. Why?
Yeah, I do. Both teams are very good defensively. Miami stifled New York in six, had a great game plan, you know, basically let Brunson get his points and assists, but shut down Randall and Barrett. They held New York to 101 or less in four of the six games. Boston held Philly in the 80s in three games of their series. And don't forget, Miami did score the least points per game in the regular season. And in the conference final last year between these two, the last five games of the series, the average score of the games was only 196 points.
So let's go to baseball really quickly. We get a pretty good series, an interesting one at that. I actually just bet the Cardinals to win the NL the other day at 20-1. I think they're a team that's maybe on a little bit of a bounce back. However, they might not do it with Adam Wainwright on the hill because he has not been pitching particularly well. He's opposing the Dodgers and Arias, and I think you got to play on the total here, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go, Twins-Dodgers. I'm going to go under 8.5. Dusty May's been fantastic this year for the Dodgers. 7 of his 8 starts, 2 earned runs or less. Sonny Gray, 1.39 ERA this season. And, you know, you get the sunshine there in L.A., day game. Could be tough to see for a while. I'm going to go under 8.5.
Is it hard to keep track of everything that's going on in Major League Baseball right now when you have the NBA and NHL playoffs going on and the second PGA Tour major of the season in the same week? Like, how are you handling all this?
It is wild. It is tough. But, you know, you just got to, you flip around the channels on TV, check the stats and stuff and see what's going on. You never know what's going to happen. Just keep an eye on everything, but it is wild. It is great. And it's a great time of the season. It's a lot of action going on, playoffs all over the place. You know, like you mentioned, PGA. I think my father, who keeps reminding me that he caddied at Oak Hill in 1968. In 1968, he caddied there. He's pumped up for the tournament. He lives about a half an hour away, so it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
By the way, the Mets just called up. You talk about sticking with news. Their youngster, Mark Vientos, power-hitting prospect. Lineup's a little shaky, so maybe we got another Rookie of the Year candidate, huh?
Do it. I mean, this Mets team is a disaster, aren't they?
Aye, aye, aye. I want to go back to that Heat-Celtics game coming up tonight, though, because I know you're always very keen at looking at some of the prop markets and different opportunities in the game within the game. Anything worth a look tonight?
I got a couple here, and maybe if you can do a same-game parlay, if you're allowed. I got plus 135, same-game parlay. How about this one? I got Gabe Vincent under 2.5 rebounds with Jimmy Butler to make at least 1 3-point basket. Like I said, it's plus 135, guys. Vincent is usually around the three-point area, not really a rebounding machine. He's averaged just 1.5 rebounds a game in the playoffs. He's had 2 or less in 9 of 11 playoff games and had just a total of 4 rebounds in 4 regular season games against Boston and Butler. I'm going to go just to make 1 3. He's got 13 in the playoffs and 10 playoff games. That pays plus 135, guys.
All right, before we get you out of here, Harry, Western Conference Finals, we saw the first one get in the books. Nuggets have a 1-0 series lead. What do we make of this series going forward?
Yeah, you know, I still like Denver. The best team at home this season, 7-0 at home in the playoffs. 5 of the 7 games they've won by 9 or more. I know the Lakers played really tough and came back and got to within 6 and lost by 6 last night. But, I mean, that took a 40-10 performance out of AD. LeBron was 1 assist from a triple-double. Pope scored in the 20s, and they still lost the game. You got to ask for a big performance like that again from L.A. I don't see it happening. I think Denver goes up 2-0. I think they roll in game 2. Jokic, again, unbelievable. 3 triple-doubles in a row. Had a triple-double by almost halftime last night. 53 points 4 games ago on the road in Phoenix. It makes everybody better, and again, this team is just rolling right now. They're fantastic at home. I don't see LA being able to steal one in Denver.
Good stuff, Harry. Appreciate you doing this. Have a great one.
Always, guys. Take care. Bye.
Harry Gagnon. Check him out on Twitter at AAO Harry. And yeah, to his point, Nikola Jokic, 3 straight triple doubles now in the postseason. Last night, just a monster.
I would say he's pretty valuable.
You really hate that he didn't win MVP, don't you?
I hate the arguments that were made against him
as to why he did it.
Yes, correct. Especially when some voters actually said they gave Joel Embiid first place because he hadn't won yet. That's ridiculous.
That's not something you can say.
Correct.
Like, if you actually get to vote on these things, keep that to yourself if that is how you feel. Anyways, okay, we have to take a break. We're wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line when we come back. Final thoughts on the game coming up tonight in the Eastern Conference and a little talk about the NHL as well coming up this week.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting
network. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located here on the Las Vegas Strip or nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel here with you on the Lombardi Line as we wrap things up here for the show. Time for our pro tip. Every single show here at the network does them. And today's tip actually comes from our friend Danielle Alvari when we were talking about handicapping the WNBA. She said that it is still kind of one of those niche sports and that bookmakers don't know as much about WNBA, but sharp bettors, the people that are getting in on this action, tend to. So you can actually get some pretty good closing line value if you're paying attention, if you're really in on these numbers.
Yeah, I would also say just that line moves in sports like this, like the WNBA, or, you know, totals in Northeast Conference play in college basketball, the line moves tend to be pretty accurate just because that those guys are market setters and gals. And as you kind of mentioned here, whether you want to phrase it as they know a little bit more or they are just putting more time into paying attention into these lines and where they should be. So that would be a good indicator to check those line moves, because more often than not, they're going to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. VSiN Pro Tips available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. We have the NHL postseason getting, I mean, it's been well underway, but we're getting the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals beginning tomorrow night with the Florida Panthers and Carolina Hurricanes. Then coming up later on this week, the Dallas Stars and my Vegas Golden Knights. And both of these series, I think, have reason to go long, potentially have a lot of reason for people to get excited about them. You have a Carolina Hurricanes team led by Rod Brind'Amour that is so gritty and defensively and great on the penalty kill, and a team like Florida that loves to score and try to get you off of your base and has upset the world so far. Wow. Coming up in the Eastern Conference. Really, really fun. But the Hurricanes, minus 145 favorite in this early game. Panthers available, plus 120. Six goals, your total. And I mentioned this yesterday to Pritch, JVT, that Carolina, I keep on counting them out because I keep thinking that the lack of star power and point-producing players like Max Pacioretty and Andrei Svechnikov and Teuvo Teravainen not being available for them would catch up with them and that depth would become a problem. And then all they did was just smash the New Jersey Devils and get themselves in this position.
Yeah, I'm really curious how this works for this series in particular, because Carolina, just looking on the surface, kind of your point about maybe selling them short, was not a team that a lot of respected hockey people that I talked to came up frequently in terms of winning this conference. And when I look at what Florida is able to do through 12 games in the postseason, you look at some of these offensive numbers for them, they've been pretty good. But one thing sticks out to me, and you know me, like I like the metrics and see how it's going to play out for them. Florida's through 12 games, the expected goals for and against, it's actually goals against that works against the Florida Panthers. So in other words, expected goals against is higher than their expected goals for. They have not won the shot share through 12 games too. So you do wonder if you're looking at how Florida has gotten here up to this point, dead even in terms of high danger chances. You wonder if maybe Florida has been playing with a little bit of fire and that Carolina is going to be able to come out here and take advantage of the things that Florida's past two opponents could not, and end up winning this series.
Well, and while Sergei Bobrovsky, for his career, has been a tremendous goaltender, this season has not been his best. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing that I was curious about coming into the playoffs, is how consistent he would be. He's been tremendous for the Florida Panthers. So how sustainable is that moving forward? I'm not sure. Harry Gagnon seems to think that he'll show up here in game one and take in that Hurricanes team total under the number here to start things out.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Maybe you don't know, because, again, I'm pretty new to hockey analytics and whatnot. What would be, like, generally, how often do you convert high-danger chances as a team? Like, the reason I ask that is Florida so far, they've converted a pretty high rate of their high-danger chances, like just over 60%. So I get that they're high-danger chances, but Carolina's only at about, like, 54. So I wonder if, like, is that sustainable?
Yeah, you know again, what I mean? I don't know if it is. It's too high a number to be something that somebody would normally be able to score consistently, but it's been working for them. And I don't like counting out a team that's been able to do it and been able to make the most of their shots and has been able to get to the dirty areas in front of the net and make those types of shots happen. So I'm not sure. I don't really have a great feel for this series. I lean Carolina, but I don't know. The Panthers, as an underdog, just keep on beating everybody. So who's to say that they can't get it done? In the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars series, like I said to Harry, I'm wondering how concerned I should be about Jake Oettinger finally getting his stride in that final game of the series with the Kraken.
I'm also curious, are we finally seeing, so we sometimes get overcorrections. So the whole entire way, it seems that the market's been pretty low in Vegas. You know, like you've heard in that Winnipeg series, like, hey, watch out, Winnipeg could, you know, could upend them. They end up winning that series pretty quickly. You look at the series against Edmonton, where everybody and their mothers is like, Edmonton's better, Edmonton's better. The price is going up.
Did you see that post of the ESPN article that had all of their analysts picking that series?
And did every one of them pick Edmonton?
Every one of them picked Edmonton in 6 or 7.
Okay.
And the only people that picked the Golden Knights, there were 2 of them, and they picked the Golden Knights in 7. So okay. Nobody, not a soul, had the Golden Knights in 6 in that series.
And in the market, it's not like the market's any different. You know, we love to crush these ESPN analysts and others because they're public faces, but it's not like the market or bettors were any different here. And so I just wonder, when you see something like this, and Vegas does have home ice, so maybe that plays into it. But when I see Vegas is a $1.35 favorite over a team that, you know, I've talked to some people who watch this pretty closely and say that Dallas is a pretty dangerous team, like you've mentioned. You know, if Oettinger starts to get this together, this defense really starts to shine, and they generate some chances against Aiden Hill in this goaltending situation. I do always like when it seems that maybe there's a slight perception flip that Vegas has finally garnered some respect as they're about $1.35, $1.40 favorites in the series.
And they deserve respect. I feel like I've been saying, beating the drum every week, that they deserve more respect than they've gotten. And they were still the top seed in the Western Conference for a reason. Everybody had them as the lesser than team against the Edmonton Oilers because of their star power. But the Oilers still reeled off 14 wins in their last 15 games of the regular season and couldn't beat the Golden Knights for the division title. And so there are things like that that I very firmly have just been like, this team has been good. They have exceeded expectations all year long, and even on their fourth, fifth string goalie, are continuing to win games. So I like the Golden Knights in the series. I want them to win. I do already have a position with a futures ticket on Dallas to win the Western Conference, which is so ironic to me that I have a bet on Dallas and I don't actually have a bet on the Golden Knights in this spot. So kind of figuring out what I want to do from there. I'll probably play this game to game, but Dallas similarly has had a lot of inconsistencies, and we saw that especially against the Kraken. But I have some concerns with Pete DeBoer and how well he knows the personnel of the Golden Knights. If Jake Oettinger plays throughout the course of a series the way that he did in that final game, if Jason Robertson, who was their top point producer and goal scorer in the regular season, plays more to that caliber, then that gives me a little bit of cause for concern. But I like the Golden Knights in game one. I like them in the series, and I just have to kind of wait and see how it plays out.
Conflicted.
Very conflicted.
Future.
Very conflicted.
I say stick to your guns. You had a good read on Dallas. You got them at 10-1. I don't know. Hedging's always like a personal thing. We always get so wrapped up. Kelly and I laugh at it all the time, where everybody's like, you're going to hedge. It's like, hey, look, man, like sometimes you're in positions where you can, like you are right now, but you better for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. We do have the game one. Celtics Heat. I know you think it's going to be a shorter series. The Celtics are going to take this one down. Game one, final thoughts.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I think the market's starting to move in that direction a little bit. As we saw in some spots where there's eights, the eight is shaded to the favorite side. See 8.5 out there too. I made this a point spread that was just between like 9, 9.5. So would say if you're going to bet it, you know, the Celtics would be the side. Bet the series, it laid -2.5 games at +128. And I do like these conversations. You know, I love to interact on social media and whatnot. And, you know, people very much pushing against the fact that the Celtics could end this thing quickly. And that's why I bet it. I think that that's going to be the case. So I'm willing to take the loss and be wrong on this with the Boston Celtics. But they have the personnel that I think matches up really, really well with the Miami Heat. So would lean toward the Celtics side as I make the number a little bit higher in terms of game one. And I also think that the Celtics are going to win this series. Official selection, Celtics in 5.
Does the total seem a little high, a little low, or right on to you for tonight?
So I think this, you know, this lines up right. I think the market's starting to move a little bit over. The problem with Boston is if I'm confident in them, as I believe, there is a chance that if you're approaching it, maybe betting Boston's team total over as opposed to the game over. Because if it goes Boston's way, you could see a scenario where they're really limiting Miami offensively and you don't get over the game total, but Boston gets over their individual total.
My favorite series bet for Heat Celtics, Jimmy Butler to have the highest scoring single game, +180 available at DraftKings. I like that one because Jason Tatum, obviously an odds on favorite like he is in all of those scoring categories, because you assume Boston's going to win. He's going to be that leading point producer in every instance. Okay, that's a wrap for today. Thanks, JVT. You're the man.
Peace out.
I wanted to say peace up, A-Town down, really bad. I held it in, and then I said it anyways. So that's how I close a show. Michael Lombardi will be back on the program with me coming up tomorrow. Thanks for watching. VSiN Best Bets is next.